Hello, everyone. Good morning. We're going to get started. This is From Sneaker Shops to Yarn Swaps, Making Community Partnerships to Cultivate Diversity. My name is Leah Cheston. I'm on your board of directors as well as the Brewpub Committee and the, thank you, my husband, the Brewpub Committee and the Seminar Selection Committee. Just a couple of reminders today before we get started, if you can turn your phones to silence. And also, if you can rate the seminar, this on the app, if you're using the CBC app, it's really easy to rate today's seminar. It really helps us on the committee for seminar selection to review and see what works and what doesn't to make it just better and better for next year. We have a large panel today, so we most likely will not get to Q&A. If we do, there are two mics on the side of the room, but if not, there's an open house directly after this. So just stick around and you can ask questions to the panelists right after in this room. I'm very honored about today's seminar. I'm excited for it myself. I'm going to introduce our leader today leading off the seminar, and she'll introduce the panelists. The board of directors has been very focused, and I'm sure you've heard a lot this week, a lot of focus on diversifying our industry. The more voices at the table, the more perspectives, it just makes it better for everyone. I know personally I've never been so excited about having to wait in line at the restroom. This year, the line is a little bit longer this year than it was last year, and I think that's a really good thing. Dr. J is our diversity ambassador for the Brewers Association, and she is also a professor in Lynchburg, Virginia, and has worked a lot in the industry as well as working a lot to diversify our wonderful industry, and I'll let her take it over.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. I know by the last day of CBC, everybody's running a little bit ragged, so I'm excited to see all of you here today. I've had the great privilege this past year as diversity ambassador to cross the country some probably dozen times, talking to lots of brewers all over the place through your state guild meetings and at national meetings. And one of the things that often happens is in the Q&A sessions and in informal conversations following, I get many versions of one single question, and that is, how do we have fill-in-the-blank event to form a relationship with fill-in-the-blank population without appearing to be pandering or appropriating or taking things to a purely transactional place? And my response is almost always the same, which is, you shouldn't do it. You should get out of the way, or you should form a partnership with somebody in that community. So with that answer, lots of folks go, oh, okay, how in the hell do I do that? Today's panel was essentially my effort of trying to answer that question by bringing in some leaders of consumer-led efforts to diversify craft beer so that you can ask them and hear from them directly how you should best work to form relationships with organizations like theirs, and how you can do so in a way that's respectful and productive for everyone. This panel is going to run in shifts, so I have three groups of folks to introduce to you. They will answer a couple of questions here on the panel, and then, as was mentioned before, what I'm going to do is a short Q&A following the session where we'll break out into groups in different parts of the room, and then you're very welcome to stay for the Diversity Committee open house, which immediately follows in this room, if your conversations with these folks just carry on. So first, I'd like to introduce two representatives from homebrew clubs around the country. Let me get my notes here. The first person I'm going to introduce is Rebecca Sandage. She is a biologist and the co-founder of Queers Makin' Beers. This is a LGBTQ+ homebrew club based in the Berkeley, California area that has over 900 members. Rebecca is a masterful brewer and an extraordinary leader. I know that recently Queers Makin' Beers has formed another chapter on the East Coast in Florida. She has used her expertise as a community leader in facilitating the evolution of a beer culture that has greater integration of queer people, thought, style. And she really has just beautiful belief that beer is as diverse as the people that drink it. Our other panelist will be Augustin Rolas. He started homebrewing in 2010 with his family and friends under the name Brujeria, B-R-E-W, but as if you know Spanish, that means witchcraft, which I think is amazing. He started from 7 people brewing in his backyard. Now the club that he helped co-found, SoCal Cerveceros, has more than 100 members, and they regularly host homebrew competitions and events in Southern California. He is also a remarkable success story. He is a community organizer and will be opening the doors of his own small independent craft brewery called Brujeria Company in just a month or so. Is that right? You're opening up in about a month? Couple months, okay. So let's welcome Rebecca and Augustin. So first question, we'll just get right into it. Both of you have started homebrew clubs in communities that have been historically excluded from amateur and professional brewing, and you've had tremendous success doing so. I absolutely love both of your Instagram accounts, which, if you want to follow, are up here. What lessons can you offer breweries that hope to forge connections in communities that are not traditionally associated with craft beer?
I would say that the most important lesson that we have learned through Queers Making Beers, well, first of all, I'm really honored to be here as a leader of a homebrew club, because 4 years ago, I didn't even know how to make beer, but and accidentally started a homebrew club, which became huge, and now I make really good beer. But so through that very steep learning curve, I mean, I am queer, so that makes it easier in the sense that when I talk to other queer people, I'm speaking about myself as well. And like Dr. J said, that's really critical. It's critical that you reach out to the people who are in that community, and part of doing that is being really genuine and trying to understand to the best of your ability where they're coming from, who they are, the terminology, the politics, the interests that that community has, and then reaching out to them and understanding the barriers that have existed for them, such as like the discriminatory barriers, whether it's race or sexual orientation, but not only those barriers, the financial barriers and the other barriers that may exist for that community. And when you're talking to them, having an understanding of those things and being able to acknowledge them and talk about how can we form a partnership that addresses some of the issues that your community faces, and helping them realize that you understand what some of those issues are and that you're willing and interested in doing things that will help their community as well. And then through that, you form a deep friendship and things will just work out.
Honored to be here as well. Thank you. So I think just speaking about being genuine, right? Like, I think one story that I have, and I've been kind of just going over and over it as thinking about these answers to these questions. Like, the very first brewery that ever contacted us to host a meeting for us, it was actually a consultant that the brewery hired. And so immediately we were like, well, who are you? What do you do? How are you part of the brewery? They're like, oh, well, I was just hired to basically help engage the community. And we were like, well, no, we're not going to do that. Like, why are we going to extend ourselves when the brewery itself, like the owners or the founders, are not doing the same, you know? So we said no. Fast forward a year later, the owners actually reach out to us and say, hey, we want to host a meeting. And we said, let's do it. And we were there like 2 weeks later. So that's a big part for us, right? Like, we don't want some stranger reaching out to us that doesn't really have or isn't invested in the brewery, right? That makes a big difference. And so now, I mean, we've had meetings at like 8 to 10 different breweries now, and it's always that thing, right? Sometimes it is us reaching out to them, but the cool thing is that it's the owner that is, or at least, you know, an invested employee that really cares about getting us involved. So that makes a big difference in terms of us wanting to work with these breweries and build relationships with them.
Great, thank you guys. Second question, and this maybe is something as far as examples of things you've been involved in or maybe even wish list type stuff. What are some of the ways that breweries and homebrew clubs might partner beyond hosting meetings and running competitions? Because I think those are kind of the two collaborations we see most frequently. And second, or as an extension of that, how can breweries support the efforts of clubs like yours?
Sure. So I think one way that breweries can help, I mean, obviously hosting meetings, you know, making an effort to reach out. I think another is, especially with our club now that we're trying to formalize into a nonprofit, is kind of helping us as we're building out some of these events that we do, right? So we host 2 events per year to benefit a nonprofit. But it's really hard to do it when we're homebrewers, we don't have money, we're doing this on the side. And I mean, you know, there's also trepidation on our part to reach out to breweries and ask for help. But it would be awesome to kind of have that come from them too and say, hey, you know what, we can sponsor this or we can help you do that. I mean, we're getting ready to host our largest event of the year, April 27th, and we actually don't have any sponsors. Like, it's been tough to, you know, to find sponsors or just partners that want to work with us. I mean, I realize that that's about money, but like, how else are you going to grow the diversity of your brand unless you reach out and you know, maybe spend some money or help them out in some way? I mean, I think another way that's super easy and the way that Brujeria has grown is by doing collaboration beers. You know, we've had conversations with one brewery at least that said, you know what, let's do a club collab. And that's also a way for, you know, home brewers who have never brewed on a large scale can get to go in there and see what it really is or what it really takes. And I mean, honestly, a lot of it is just sitting around, but it's awesome to be just walking around, seeing all the, you know, the big equipment, the nice shiny stuff. It kind of makes you, you know, kind of gives you dreams, right, about like what you can do in the future if you can really take this to that next level.
I agree with all of those points. And we've done a few collaboration brews. We won a contest with Benoit Casper and then have been making a pride beer with them around this time of year since. And that's something our members get like super stoked about, is being able to like use all the fancy big stuff. So collaboration brews are great, but kind of along the lines of what you were saying too, like we host really big events and I reach out to the breweries and the bars where we have friends and we know people, and I always invite them to our events. And so it's really great when people from those places actually show up to our parties. Our parties are pretty sick, too, so it's like not like a bummer kind of thing to have to go to. But it's really cool when people come, and then they meet our members, and they meet our friends, and we form relationships, and you also get to have a good time because you're at a party. So showing up to things like that. But I think something that would be super helpful for us that oftentimes doesn't happen is if other organizations, community centers, breweries, bars, if people who were interested in our events would post them on their social media and sort of help us boost our, you know, how visible things are. Because as a homebrew club, we only have so many followers, but breweries often have like many thousands of followers. So that's really helpful, and it actually shows that you're like supporting the community and interested in it, which is cool for your customers to be able to see that too.
Thank you. So this is my last question for the two of you. Lots of people join homebrew clubs for different reasons. Some people get really, really into the technical aspect and maybe have aspirations of going pro. A lot of people, it's more about community and spending time together. But toward the first point, one of the concerns that I hear most often when I'm talking to brewers is how to diversify their workforce, and specifically how to make sure that they have a pipeline of potential employees that is broad enough and diverse enough so they can find talent that looks like their communities to hire. And so my question for you is, do you have any suggestions about how some of our brewers might best work with homebrew clubs in ways that might help grow their pipelines for future employees, not just technical, but in the brewery anywhere?
Yeah, so we have a bunch of members who have become interested in working in the beer industry, and a lot of times that has happened through doing collaboration brews, going on, if we have like a special tour that's set up for us where you get to actually talk to the people who do these things in breweries. But also, yeah, I think it's like absolutely vital that your workforce is as diverse as your customer base. Because, I mean, I'm queer, and I have a lot of friends who are people of color, and there are a lot of people of color in our group. And I hear time and time again, and it's true of myself too, that you are far more likely to go into a place and stay in a place and become interested in a place if you see people who look like you. And it's, you can be as understanding and as woke and as cool as you possibly can as someone who's straight or someone who's white, but there's just not the same as seeing someone who looks like you. So it's really, really important that you hire people who look like the people that you want to have in your establishment. And so I think becoming friends through these sorts of relationships we were talking about is a way to sort of reach out to those groups. And you know, specifically if you have job openings, tell them about it. And that'll make them feel like you want them there.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, it's funny, we actually had a brewery reach out to us to try to find employees through our membership. So that was really cool, right? And that brewery actually ended up hiring that member as their head brewer. So that was like a really cool kind of moment to be like, wow, like this is actually working, right? I mean, it's a little different in LA. It is already a majority Latino city. So at least in terms of, you know, finding Latinos in the brew or tap room, I should say, or even in, you know, in brewing jobs, like it's a little different. I mean, actually for us, that's what helped build the club in the first place, is that we got to meet these Latino brewers or you know, tap room managers or beer tenders. And that's kind of how the conversation started. So to your point, right, it's like that's what made it feel comfortable, is like I can relate to that person right away without any, you know, just, and I know that's a little, we're just talking about, you know, aesthetics, but still that did make it more comfortable. That did make it easier. And so I think breweries recognize that, right? At least in LA, it's hard to find a brewery in LA that does not have, you know, a very diverse employee or staff, I should say.
Well, thank both of you for joining us. At the conclusion of the panel, I'm going to ask Rebecca and Augustine to kind of hold down things in that corner. So if you have questions for either of these two wonderful folks up here, make your way to that corner of the room when we're done. And please give them a round of applause. Our next two panelists are Tony and Mike. Tony Boyce is the director of outreach and a writer for Beer Culture, who essentially blew up the craft beer industry last year, if you were watching on Twitter. Their work is focused on diversity and inclusion in the craft beer industry. In addition to being a certified beer server and a BJCP provisional judge, she holds a BS in chemical engineering and an MS in chemical engineering from USC. Yes, she is a Trojan. Tony's passion for beer stems from both her engineering background and her related communal experiences. She has 10 years of engineering experience in aerospace with both aircraft and spacecraft. Prime contractors, her hometown is Memphis, Tennessee, and she currently resides in Valencia, California. Mike Potter is a homebrewer, and he is the founder of Black Brew Culture, which is has a mission to expand black presence in the craft beer industry on the drinking side of the bar and in production. In partnership with Dave Bracey, the co-host of the Drinking Partner podcast, Mike and Day founded Fresh Fest, the nation's first black beer festival. And I believe Fresh Fest was recently voted the second favorite beer festival nationally recently, which is tremendous. This event attracts thousands of craft beer industry veterans, connoisseurs, and novices, and it is a remarkable model if you haven't been out. The whole festival runs on innovative collaborations between people in the community, small business people, activists, community leaders, and brewers, and it's something special. I'm extraordinarily excited to be going this year. So Mike and Tony, would you please join us? You kind of have to get up. That's right. Both of you represent event planners and people whose primary purpose is to engage the community. And both of you are part of and have created platforms that at least in part respond to a lack of diversity in craft beer. So big question, take this however you want to take it. How can breweries support platforms like yours, and how should they go about partnering when looking to make the change that the two of you are advocating for?
Okay. Like you said, I'm Tony. We're with Beer Culture. Our, I guess, platform is twofold. The goal is twofold. One is to get beer into urban spaces where it usually doesn't go, and the other side of that is to blaze like a path for people to get into the industry. And for us, we're looking for people who share those values, share those goals. So first thing you need to do is figure out what you stand for as an organization. Do we align on those goals? That's the first thing you need to do. And if we don't, why not? We would want to know that. And we've had this conversation with a lot of people. You have no idea how many people come up and say, this is a good conversation to have. But we needed to move past that and be more actionable. And so some of the things we do, we have events in the community. We just did one at Tampa Bay Beer Week in collaboration with the brewery. It was a good success. A lot of people came out, paired with Creole food. Backing events like that, giving out opportunities for people to do internships, learn more about the industry, and basically learning about the community in general and what people need and what people need to, what might be insurmountable at a time for people, and how you can help to, I guess, go to help people surmount that or help people overcome their struggles, really understanding what those are and talking to us about what we need in the community. It's more of a speaking about what we need, understanding that, and helping us take action to move forward.
Yeah, a lot of our answers are similar. The same, you know, I think one of the major things that you could do initially is to identify the community leaders and the businesses that are around you, particularly for, you know, new breweries that are just moving into a neighborhood. You have to know these are your neighbors. You know, these are the people that you're going to be seeing on a daily basis. These are the residents that potentially you want them to come into your establishments. So you want to know a little something about these people and these communities. And I think that's going to be, you know, a large part on the brewery owners or the brewery staff to get out and kind of reach out to the neighbors and say, hey, we're here. We've established this place. We do this. This is the kind of stuff that we have going on. Secondly, you want to also identify what are the conditions in the community? What's happening? What's the energy? What's going on? Is, you know, has there been difficult police relationships? Has there been a lot of crime? Or has there been a lot of good things going on? Well, you know, what are the certain needs that maybe the community needs as far as development? How can you connect on a genuine level? And then third, I think just be intentional. Ask yourself, what do we want out of any type of collaborations or partnerships or connections with the community? You have to have goals. You can't just say, well, whatever comes in, we'll be open to it. You could end up getting yourselves into some bad deals. A lot of things could go wrong if you just don't have a format or a base of what it is you're trying to accomplish for a certain amount of time in connecting with a black community or a community that you're around. And third, I think, just being receptive to the ideas that come in. A lot of times, people will, like our group in the beginning, we didn't have a lot of financial backing, so we had to collaborate. We had to be creative with what we were trying to accomplish. And we have a brewery in Pittsburgh that was our first collaboration beer, East End Brewery. And right away, you know, they were receptive to the whole concept of a collaboration. And even though they didn't know much about the people that we wanted to set them up with, they still said, hey, you know, we understand the condition that you're coming in at. We have the resources and the facilities to help and assist more than just bringing, you know, having you bring half the capital. Mm-hmm. So those are things that, you know, definitely benefit and definitely help to progress these relationships.
Thank you. Okay, second question. So on my seminar on Tuesday, I talked about philanthropic partnerships. And the gist of the seminar was about differentiating between transactional relationships where it's just about what everybody gets to transformative relationships in which everyone grows. And so when we talk about forming partnerships with organizations like yours, I think it's really easy for it to become very transactional, where everybody's kind of looking at what do they get out of the deal. In particular, breweries tend to look at the fact that they may get more drinkers. But I'm wondering how we might shift these relationships so they're not so narrowly focused on transaction and are more focused on transformation. So change for not only the communities where breweries are located, but change for the brewery itself. So if you think about that difference and the work you're doing, what can we tell our brewers about ways to help shift the relationship to a more transformative relationship for everyone?
Okay. One thing I've heard a lot of as I've been here and been sitting through sessions in the conference is I hear a lot about community, I hear a lot about integrity, I hear a lot about not selling out. Those are values that are important to the black community as well. We have communities as well. We have integrity to what our goals are and what we're trying to accomplish as well. And when you see community, we would also like you to see us. I see a lot of people sponsoring baseball teams or different events or helping the homeless. We have those same things going on in our communities as well. And if you want to see more of us, we need to see more of you. And this change can't be done from inside your tap room. I would encourage you to come work with us. Come get out and see. We do community cleanups. We do tutoring. We do a lot of stuff. I would encourage you to come get out and see some of that stuff, maybe participate. A lot of people are concerned about the environment. We have an environment too. We need an environment we need to protect. We have parks and all of those other things that need to be cleaned and everything else. So wherever you align, whatever your values are for community, I'm betting that a lot of them we share as well, and those are translatable. So basically getting out of your comfort zone, coming in and coming and seeing us out, you know, where we are. When you want new consumers or if you want to build new partnerships or, like, I guess, long-term relationships, you have to see people as your neighbors. You have to see them as part of your community and somebody you see as an equal, as a brother or sister, as your neighbor and not just as a consumer or somebody you want on the other side of your bar. You have to see them as a person, a whole person.
Yeah, definitely. Understanding that we all have the same base needs, particularly when you're talking about a business-to-business collaboration like we do with Fresh Fest. You know, we have a bottom line we're trying to reach. We have a brand of awareness that we're trying to achieve. So it's not all about everything that takes place inside of the taproom or inside of your brewery. It's about a collective effort to promote one another and win together. And that's that can be achieved for us, it was a great thing to be, because we did it through a collaborative effort in beer. And once these people got together and started the process of making a beer and documenting and getting to know one another, that was a genuine connection that was made, and it was definitely cultivated later on into our second year, which, you know, it was the effort that people put forward to you know, understanding again those needs are the same. We all need the same. We have the same base needs. Stop at that.
Yeah, and one thing I will add is that for those of you who do have breweries that are in areas of color, that should be your focus. That is your community, and you need to be doing the work to see how you're going to impact your neighbors and people around you. One question I would ask are, who are you hiring? Are you making an effort to try to hire people who live there? If it's about community, are you keeping the money in that community, or are you hiring somebody who's going to drive an hour away from a suburb to work there and take the money somewhere else? Are you distributing beer in that community, or are you sending it, you know, to every other suburb around the area and not marketing it at all to the people who are around you or trying to figure out how to do that at all? Those are some questions you should ask yourself if you are in a community of color.
I'm going to slip one more question in here while I have you. There's a common theme that I've heard this week. It came up on Tuesday during my seminar, on Tuesday evening during a panel discussion event that I did, and in some of the conversations I had, and that's fear, right? And so this is just kind of a real talk moment for both of you. I kind of made the point that I hear about fearfulness on the part of a lot of breweries about taking missteps or about messing up when they reach out to communities that are not normally associated with their breweries. And that's a real fear, and I want to kind of acknowledge it for people you're seeing. On the other hand, I kind of made the point that lots of people buy $80,000 worth of stainless steel and mortgage their houses and, like, put their whole financial futures at risk. And that seems scary, too. So how do we get people to be as adventurous and as willing to confront their fear as they are as entrepreneurs when it comes to crossing maybe crossing the other side of the tracks or crossing cultural boundaries?
You take that one first.
Yeah, I mean, you made a good point. You've taken all this risk. You've risked so much to become an entrepreneur. How is it so hard to talk to people that walk by your space every day? I mean, the excuse that, well, we don't relate to them or their skin is a different hue, that's pretty weak. Mm-hmm. And you just need to be a little more courageous. I mean, go for it. What the heck's the difference? You're looking for business. You're looking for patrons. The same energy you put into getting established and getting open, you can put that same energy into getting customers in your door. It's not hard. We're people too. You see somebody walking up your block in front of your space, invite them in. You know, talk to them about a couple different styles. A new beer did you have? Strike up a conversation. You never know what's they have going on. You never know who they are. They may have an interest in craft beer. They just are just as intimidated as you might be. Because, sometimes it's scary looking at white folks as well. So, yeah.
No, for me, it's hard to talk about fear because it's on our side as well. We have a hard time reaching out as well. But one thing I would encourage you to keep in mind is that we are here, we are doing this because we love beer too. That's the commonality that we have. We love beer, and we want it for our folks and our community as well. And I know I made the point, if anybody's read anything I've written, one thing I have concerns about is restitution. When you do mess up, and we all do, and we all have biases, and we all have to be checked sometimes. If you've ever met Dooch or my wife, you know I get held accountable for saying crazy stuff all the time. But you have to own that, and you have to work to make restitution, especially if, I guess, the failure or the offense was toward a specific human being. Right. You need to go and make it right with that person. It's going to be painful. It's not going to be comfortable. This is not a comfortable conversation on this side of the table or on that side of it. But one thing I would encourage you to do is think about if you were on the other side of it, if you were on the other side of being offended or constantly being excluded, what would you want? A lot of that is the same.
Yeah, and acknowledgement and apologies and things of that nature, those are the first steps towards healing. Avoidance is only going to make the problems worse. So, you know, I agree with you 100% there.
All right, thank you both. I absolutely appreciate it. Our final group of panelists are folks who have been involved in consumer and, to some degree, industry education. Maggie Skinner is the chapter head of the Milwaukee Girls Pine Out. She started the first Wisconsin chapter in early 2015 and holds two positions on the National Advisory Board, one within the membership program and the other on the chapter liaison team. Maggie's also a member of the Pink Boots Society and a previous chapter leader of the Wisconsin chapter. She has a career as a sales rep for Wisconsin distributors and a passion for community beer and the beer industry seen throughout her work with Girls Pine Out. We also have Ren Navarro. She has joined us all the way from Ontario, Canada. And as I've been told, it would be hard to find someone in the Ontario beer industry who does not know and love Ren. I can personally attest to this. I mentioned on Twitter that I got a hug from Ren on Tuesday morning and said it was good, and all of Canada at me, saying that, like, yes, that was objectively the best hug in Canada. Ren has, for over 6 years, been working as a field sales rep in the industry for some of Canada's best breweries. She's no stranger to public speaking and has appeared frequently at tasting events, dinners, and talks, informing and entertaining people. And she's been most recently kind of exploding under her new venture, Beer_Diversity, on most platforms. And she's here to tell us a little bit more about our neighbors up north. And then lastly, Holly McPherson. She is the chapter head of the Grand Rapids chapter of Girls Pine Out. She helped start 4 different Girls Pine Out chapters in Michigan and currently holds 2 positions on the National Advisory Board. She recently organized a citywide scavenger hunt for the Grand Rapids GPO that drew over 600 attendees, and that sounds amazing. So would you 3 ladies join us? So, all 3 of you have been involved in educating people about craft beer, and in particular, all 3 of you have reached out specifically to women as craft beer drinkers. So, as educators of the groups of people that lots of breweries are looking to get more involved, both on the consumption and production end, what sorts of things can brewery management learn by partnering with organizations like yours?
Hi, Canada. It's almost what Mike and Tony were talking about. For me, being a person of color and being queer, you want to deal with me because I'm going to help you make more money. I'm going to get that group of people that you are either ignoring or just don't know how to engage, and I'm also going to help you. I mean, I don't have all the answers, but yeah. We're going to work through it. We're going to try and figure out how to bring in those groups of people that you currently don't have, right? I mean, you were just saying about it. At the end of the day, you're business people, and you want to bring in more people. If you don't, why are you in business? Because it's kind of a weird thing to do. So it's really about that engagement and saying, I see you, I hear you, and I want you to be part of this.
Also, to everyone else's point that they were talking about collaborations. Okay, to everyone else's point that we're talking about collaborations and bringing in everyone else, you need to not pander. You know what I mean? I don't need an extra coating of pink on your walls to make me show up at your brewery. That's not going to help anybody. But if you have like a solid education or want to work with us on an educational base, that's all we really want. That's what we want to bring to our community as well. And I think for Girls Pine Out and Milwaukee, and you know, specifically, the women of Milwaukee want a safe space to learn about craft beer. That's not anything against dudes, but you guys talk over us a bunch, so we, you know, we want our safe space. That's part of it, but also, I mean, Milwaukee is the most segregated city in the U.S., and that is, just a bigger struggle. But to Mike and Tony's, points before, we have a brewery that opened on, like, North Avenue in Tulsa, which is, I don't know. If you ask anybody else, they'll be like, well, that's not the greatest neighborhood. Venture brings in that community. They work with that community. They want the people of that community to be there. They want to host your events. They want all of that. So it's going up to them. It's going to your neighbor, you know, whatever it is. Even if they're like, I don't like beer. Come in, try beer. I got your sample. Stuff like that. You just have to try.
And for us, I think, so we're in Grand Rapids, and there's a lot of breweries in Grand Rapids. And one of the things, too, is we have a large community of women who are kind of looking for, like, their home brewery. We get a lot of people that, when we have a really fun event, they continuously go back to that brewery for date night or for hanging out with their friends. So we have this huge group of people who are just looking for their one place that they want to go all the time, grab dinner, grab a few drinks, bring their kids and their family on Saturday, Sunday afternoon, and just kind of hang out.
So to this point that you're talking about, I just want to get really kind of on the ground tactical now. So let's say they're a brewery and they've decided they want to bring in a chapter of Girls Pine Out, or Ren, maybe they want you to come in for tasting and talk to a group. What does that look like? If you had the ideal interaction as far as like the first reach, like do they need to make a contract with you? What should they do to get ready for your presence? How should they follow up with you? Like, what does that look like tactically on the ground?
So usually how the events for Girls Pine Out happen is, a lot of times I think to myself, I wish this event would happen because it would be really cool. And then I reach out to the brewery that I think would best facilitate it. And then we work together. I don't usually have people reaching out to me, which would be really awesome.
That one more time?
I'm sorry. I don't really have any breweries that reach out to me. It's usually me reaching out to them. I would really encourage brewers or breweries that if you have a really cool event that you can think of, to reach out to us that you think would, not so much women, but just like a group of people to do something fun. We usually like memorable events. Sometimes we have events where they just kind of reserve a room. They forget that we're coming. And I don't want to go back there. But when we have a location that's going to actually take the time, stay a few hours afterwards, bring some of their people in to hang out, maybe do something really, really cool that we're like, oh, my God, you know. Those are the places that we want to keep coming back to. And then the members keep going back to, too.
I've been kind of lucky. A lot of people reach out to me. And it starts with, I want to bring in more of insert group of people. How do we do this? And so what I've been doing the last 8 months has been doing collaboration brews. Because it's one thing to say, come and listen to Ren talk. But everyone goes, well, yeah, I kind of know who she is. But where's the draw? Mm-hmm. Because if you go to a brewery over and over again, you're always going for the next new thing. So doing the collaboration is kind of my fish hook to say, not only do you get to try a really great new beer, but boom, you get me too. And so what I've been doing with that is we're doing these community engagement moments where, you know, we'll talk about the beer, but then we talk about how a community can move further and how we can keep these things going. Because, yeah, I suckered you in with a really great tasting beer, but now I'm going to make you learn something. Sorry. And doing that, though, gets people thinking, right? Because we all get into our own little bubbles of life, and we don't think about, hey, I need to think about, you know, differently abled people, LGBTQ communities, people of color. You know, what are we doing with our indigenous groups? Like, Canada talks about how friendly we are. We don't treat our indigenous peoples really well. And so there's a problem, and there's a barrier for those people to get into beer. And so these are things that I want to just plant into people's heads. So, you know, I'm going to burn you a little bit, but I'm gonna give you the salve of a really nice beer. And that's how I've been doing it.
On a very tactical level, I mean, we do have people that reach out, whether it's, I mean, we have gyms so that you can go work out and then have a beer after, which is pretty great for a lot of us. But whoever reaches out, either Girls Pint Out to the brewery or bar, it's just it's a conversation. It's not hard. 9 times out of 10, I probably go to that bar anyways. And I'm friends with a lot of them. There's, you know, a craft beer bar that she has a back room that she'll just let us have because she loves our group so much. And we didn't ask her for that. She just wants to make sure that we always have a space to hold an event, whether it's her beer or if we're doing a special tasting or anything like that. But, I mean, our ice cream and beer pairing that we had with the brewery turned into a national collaboration because of the brewer, you know, just talking with the owner and saying, hey, I want to bring in 30 people. Let's do your beer and ice cream. And he was like, well, let's just do 100. I'll close down the brewery for you guys. And I was like, hey, man, if I can't sell that out, you can't be mad at me. Like, yeah. Like, I'm like, and it sold out in, I think, 48 hours, 100 tickets gone. And then he was like, well, we should do a Milwaukee beer. You guys, and I was like, no, we're going to do this. You're going national, man, like 100 plus chapters. So we're on our
third
year of doing a national collaboration that gets distributed, you know, chapter winners, or the, you know, the person's name is on the can. The Milwaukee chapter gets to design the can. That might be my own personal thing, but you can lead to greater things all the time. You just have to try. You just have to reach out.
Okay, so on that sentiment, I'm going to ask one more question to close us out. A little bit ago, I went on something of a fact-find mission to learn from taproom managers in particular what makes a great taproom employee. And how is that work different from maybe everyday food service? And almost to the response, something was included about a taproom employee being willing to go the extra mile, right, to spend a little bit more time with customers because there may be some craft beer education, to really reach and forge these relationships. I thought this was ironic because when I often say this is what it takes to diversify, people commonly respond, well, why is that my responsibility? So I want to ask the three of you in closing here, why is it important for craft brewers and even other industry organizations to make a concerted effort to reach populations that are currently underrepresented among their drinkers and employees?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost a no-brainer. You know, the simple answer is, do you want to make money? Yes. After that, though, you build onto that sense of community. There are breweries in you know, I'm based out of Ontario in Canada, and there are breweries that when you say their name, people go, oh, yeah, they've got these people who really care, or they have a high percentage of women, or they've tried to do things in a different way. And once you get that going and you get that reputation, it just snowballs. So it's, you know, you want to have a good point of welcoming, right? So if you walk into a store and that person doesn't even acknowledge you, you don't stay. And it's the same thing with breweries. And because social media allows us to see cats and fight with strangers, it also allows us to tell people when we have a really bad experience. And when we have a bad experience, you don't tell two people, you tell your 2,000 or 3,000 followers on Twitter. And if you only have 300, if you put it right, everyone else talks about it. And then that destroys things. And we need to start getting to that point of when I go in and I feel welcome and there's people of color working behind the bar, or there's LGBTQ or differently abled, or let's do that, where we start telling a bunch of people and saying, I went to this place and it was really great, and let's get that to catch fire and keep moving, because that's what it's about. I mean, at the end of the day, we talk about how we're a big community. Let's prove it. Let's just do it.
I mean, I agree. It's a no-brainer, especially business-wise. Everybody likes, well, not everybody likes craft beer, but there's a lot of people, you know. But also do it, to Rebecca's point earlier, do it with, be genuine. Be very sincere when you do and stuff like that. And if you do have jobs, I post the Milwaukee jobs in our Girls Pint Out community page all the time, because all of those women are very capable of doing whatever that brewery is asked. Base, you know, minus the education and having the training, but they're there and they have the opportunity to, and they can definitely try, but also do it with, you know, just be so sincere and genuine, and don't just do it for the transaction, I guess.
So kind of my point is, in Grand Rapids, in Michigan mostly, I know a lot of people who take family vacations, or they grab their friends or their spouse and they go around to breweries. They just go on vacation. That's all they do. It's just breweries. And I think if you reach out and you create that sense of breweries are a great destination, a great place to spend a few hours, and then we have all the other brewer managers doing this, I mean, you're helping not only yourself, but your state and the nation. And then your sales are going to go up. And instead of going to the grocery store to pick up, you know, something, they're going to see that brewery that they just went to, had a great time. Let's try to pick up their six-pack and have it for the weekend. I think creating that really great experience and reaching out to them. And it's as simple as just saying hi or having a fun event or just a really relaxed space, good food if you can. It's just going to snowball into more people going, more places, and then rather than going to Red Robin, we're going to go to the brewery.
Well, again, a round of applause for these ladies. Thank you so much. So just in closing, and a reminder, I'm going to ask our homebrewers to kind of hold down that side of the room if you have questions for them. These community and brewery educators are going to hold down that side of the room if you want to ask questions of them. I'm going to ask Mike and Tony to meet in the back of the room, so if you have questions for them, they'll be over there. Brewers Association Diversity Committee Open House is immediately following this panel in this room, so just stick around if you want to hang out or ask questions of me or any other members of the Diversity Committee who are here. There are a couple around, so we'll find a space to gather together. Maybe we can hang out up here. One thing as we close that I really want to draw attention to, this has been a complete joy to create this panel. I've been stalking these folks on social media for quite a while, and I'm a huge fan of theirs. So this is a pretty amazing experience for me. But I also think that when we get together as a group, it's pretty remarkable. For a group of people who all are obsessively in love with beer, we cover a lot of ground. There are openly queer people here, several people of color, women, someone from the Latinx community. But more importantly, and more interestingly for me, we are a college professor and a chemical engineer and a biologist and an entrepreneur and a CAD designer and a couple of sales reps. And I think together we are an impressive group of people, an impressive group of people with a lot of experience and skills that you are missing out on if we are not part of your brewing community as drinkers or as employees. So thank you all for being here today again. Please ask questions, and go forth and diversify.